Everybody satisfied with their walk with the Lord?
If you're not, we need to get there, especially what we're looking at in the book of Revelation. Let me invite you to turn to chapter 6, looking at the seals that are being broken. You know, any minister would rather preach about the Lord Jesus Christ, rather preach about the Lamb of glory, love to preach about all the sacrifices and love that God has made on our behalf, to preach the positive things of the gospel. But if a minister is true to his call, he understands there's another portion to this book that is not all positive. And there is the negative side that we must look at. Today in our society, a lot of churches and a lot of ministers are preaching simply the positive side of the gospel. They're talking about only the good things and wanting us to look at the love of God only. Want us to focus on all the good things and not to look at the bad or to have to deal with the bad or even to speak of the bad. They don't want us to talk about hell. They don't want us to talk about troubles. They don't want us to talk about disappointments or failures. They, in essence, want to say, let's just focus on the positive and all these negative things will just sort of drift away and pass away. Well, that's the trouble, I'm afraid, with the church today. The church has been hearing half the gospel too long. And we've been hearing only about the things that sort of apply to our life and how we want to take the Lord and we want to make Him fit our lifestyle rather than taking our lives and meeting His lifestyle. Today we're making God a lot smaller than God is. And we need to understand that our God is a huge and an awesome God and we need to meet His standards and not pull Him down to ours. And therefore, when we look at the gospel, we come to understand there are some negative things that we have to look at when we look at the gospel. Now, listen to me. I understand in this world today there are a lot of people that are looking for all the gadgets of life that will make them happy and bring them fulfillment. More and more people are looking today for the gadgets that will make predictions of the future and how life will be easier and life will be more comfortable. And you know, you can some people just can't wait to get to the newspaper every day of the week so they can turn real quickly to the horoscope and find out what their day is going to be like or what the Lord has in store for them that day or what the future may be tomorrow. They live from day to day trying to think that the newspaper or the horoscope or some Ouija board is going to provide them the answers to their life and where they need to be going in life. Dr. Jeremiah said there was a man who was concerned about smoking and what it was doing into his life. And every day he would read in the newspaper about these articles on smoking and the dangers of smoking. And he read it day after day in the newspaper. So finally he decided to do something. You know what he decided to do? Right. He stopped the paper. And my friends, I say to you, I make this application. The problem with the world today and a lot of Christians today is that we don't like what the Word of God has to say and what it applies to our life. And what have we stopped doing? We stopped reading the Word of God. Because when we read the Word of God, it tells us what we ought to be doing, not what we want to do. And it tells us what we need to be doing rather than the things that we are doing. And sometimes it is not comfortable. We need to listen and understand this, that God's judgment is coming. And it is going to come probably quicker than any of us realize or think. And that is a fact. And that is the fact is this, unless we change our lives, we're going to spend eternity in a place that we do not want to spend it. Last week we talked about the four horsemen. I think I did. I don't remember what I talked about. We talked about the four horsemen, right? And what we saw, this was a vision of heaven. From heaven. John was up there and he was able to see what was going to happen down on earth. When man was in charge, man was going to be given a charge of the world and it was going to be in the power of the Antichrist. Hell was going to have a holiday. That's what that first four seals telling us. Hell has a holiday. And you have these four horsemen that's going to come and run rampant and bring havoc to the world. And it's going to be a terrible time of disease and pestilence and judgment and sin and corruption. We had the first horseman what was white, remember? And he was going to be what? He was going to be that of deception. He was going to paint a beautiful picture. He was going to tell the world was going to be just wonderful, and all you had to do was bow to him, worship him, give allegiance to him, and everything and every desire of your heart was going to be met. He was going to deceive you. And then came along the horse, the red horse, the horse of war. Peace was going to cease. All the promises of the Antichrist were going to be out the window. He had us where he wanted us, hook, line, and sinker. And then he was going to bring on war and chaos and hatred. And then we remember, follow that came the black horse, that of famine. Famine was going to follow the world. People were going to be hungry. Food was going to be rationed out. There was not going to be enough for people to eat. And people were going to die of starvation. And then lastly, there was the pale horse, the horse of death. Death. Death where it would be brought about. Brother against brother. Man against man. Neighbor against neighbor. Life would not be precious anymore. And life would be expendable. And that's where we ended it. But today we come and we want to look at the fifth seal. And I want you to understand that we're going to change the scene. Last week we were down on earth and we were seeing the things that were going to happen on earth during the tribulation. And now God takes us back up with John into heaven and He's going to show us a scene in heaven. Last week we talked about the means of judgment, the means of judgment, how judgment was going to happen. Today we're going to talk about in the fifth seal the reason for it. Why is God going to judge the world? Why is God going to allow a tribulation period to come? Why is it all going to take place? And we see it very quickly as we look in the seal number 5. We see there that the wrath of the Lamb is getting ready to be unfolded because of the things that have already taken place. What things? What is underneath the altar when we open and look at that fifth seal? Let's look at it. Chapter 6. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they would rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren, who would be also killed as they were, and thus the time would be complete. We see that the reason for judgment is what? Because God's wrath is going to take care of the saints who have been martyred. What are we talking about? Who are we talking about? We're not talking about the saints that have already been raptured. We're not talking about the saints that were persecuted in the first 3 or 4 centuries when Rome was so terrible and feeding the saints to the lions and burning them at the stake. They're already gone. What he's talking about is the saints that are going to find Jesus Christ during the time of tribulation, and because they accept Christ during the tribulation, they're going to be martyred. They're going to be put to death. They're going to live a horrible, terrible existence when they make that decision for Jesus. These are people that are going to come to Christ during the tribulation period, and we might ask ourselves, why? Why are they martyred? Look at verse 9. Look at it. Because of the Word of God and the testimony they maintain. Wow. Do you understand what that just said? These people are put to death during the tribulation for 2 reasons. Number 1, because they had an allegiance to the Word of God. Because they believed what was here. Because they took the Word at its face value and they took it into their life and they surrendered to it and they made it a part of their life and their ministry. They believed everything in this Word, and because they believed the Word of God, their life was snuffed out. They became martyrs. But not only that, what's more important, I want you to notice something else. And you have to say, wow! Not only that, but they maintained, notice there, they maintained their testimony. Brothers and sisters, what is the tragedy today of the modern church? What is the tragedy today in Christianity when we look at the population of people who say, yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I'm a church member. The tragedy is they got their name on a church roll somewhere. They made a decision at some time in life. But listen, friend, listen. They are no more closer today to having a relationship with Jesus Christ than they were 10 years ago, 20 years ago, or 15 years ago. They may have had a testimony and say, I want to accept Jesus as my Savior. But listen, they did not maintain it. And I dare say that there are those of you in listening to my voice this morning, you know full well within your heart, you know without a shadow of a doubt within your heart, that you are no closer today in your relationship to Jesus Christ than you were 5 years ago. Matter of fact, some of you may, if you're honest with yourself, have to admit that you are less close to the Lord today than you were 5 years ago. Something has slipped in your life. There is an attitude that has moved into your life. There is a bitterness that's moved into your life. There is an indifference to the work of the Lord or indifference to what God wants to be doing in your life. And you haven't maintained that testimony. We need to understand that the Word of God says it is important that the Word of God be a part of our life and that we maintain the testimony we have for Him. For Jesus said in Matthew 24, listen, then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Brothers and sisters, if you live by this good book, if you take this book to heart and you practice it and you read it and you study it, and if you have a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus said, the world is going to hate you. The world is going to hate you. And you can understand you may not be a martyr in the sense that your head is chopped off, but you're going to be a martyr and that people will shun you, people will not like you, people will not invite you to certain functions, and you will be excluded because there is something about you that they don't like. And it is that testimony, it is that stand for the Lord Jesus Christ that makes them uncomfortable because of the sin that's in their own life. Now, how? How were they put to death? I believe the method of death during the tribulation period is going to be the guillotine. Their head's going to be chopped. How do I know that? Look over in 20th chapter, verse 4. I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge, and I saw the soul of those who had been beheaded because of that. Here it is again. They've been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, I don't think that John just put it in here and that the vision of God gave it to us just simply to put those words in there a couple times in the book of Revelation if they weren't important for us to heed and to understand and to acknowledge. It is important that the Word of God means something in our life. It is important that the testimony we have about Jesus is real and dynamic and personable and excitable, right? And if it's not, then there's something missing in our relationship because we need to understand Satan can take off your head, my friends, but he cannot destroy your soul. Matthew 10:28 said, don't be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body. Who is that one that can destroy both soul and body? It is Satan. It is the Antichrist. And if we don't have allegiance to God, then we must have allegiance to Satan. And if we have an allegiance to Satan, then we can understand something. He will destroy our body and our soul, and we will spend all eternity in hell. Now, we have a heavenly picture here as we look at the Scripture. I want you to look at it there. We see three things that we find out real quick about these saints that are under the altar. They're under the altar. And I want you to understand that they're there. And they are talking to the Lord, they're praising the Lord, they're worshiping the Lord, and there are three things that we see that the Lord has done for them. A comfort is provided. Notice, first of all, they are under the altar. They no longer are facing persecution. They're no longer facing the difficulties of life. They have a refuge. Do you understand that? They're in the presence of the Almighty God. They are, notice something else. It is the altar of the blood of the Lamb. The symbolism here is simply what? We go back to the book of Exodus. And the book of Exodus was, you bring the lamb and you would sacrifice the lamb. You take some of the blood, the priest would, and smear it on the horns on the altar, meaning refuge and security and protection. And then take the rest of the blood and pour it in a basin underneath the altar. Friends, listen. If you are under the altar covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, there is no power, there is no source, there is no individual, there is nothing that can take you out of the blood of Jesus Christ. You are there forever and ever and ever. And that is the cover we see about these saints who are under the altar of God. They are under the protection. Second of all, we see that they are going to be given rest. What is their plea? They're saying to the Lord, why don't you go down there and avenge those who put us to death? And the Lord said, I'm not ready to do that yet. You just lay here and rest. You just take it easy. There's going to be a little delay. But because there are others that's going to join you. There are others of your number that are going to come and be a part of the martyred. And they're going to come and gather under the altar. So you just be patient. You just rest right now. I'll take care of it later. And then thirdly, it says, we notice that they were given a robe. They were given a robe. You know, that answers the question about what kind of body. People always ask you, we're going to have a body when we get into heaven? Let me tell you something. A spirit don't need a robe. Huh? But a body does. And a body's going to, and when we get up into heaven, we're going to have some kind of body, and we're going to have a robe on it until we get that final resurrected body when our body and our soul are put together for all eternity. But in the meantime, we see that these martyrs, a robe is placed upon them as they are in the presence of God. All right, beware. Some of you may be saying, well, Pastor, that sounds pretty good. I've always heard all my life, you know, I need to make a decision for Jesus Christ while I'm living and breathing, because if I wait too late and I die and I haven't made that decision, then I won't have that opportunity. But, Preacher, it sounds pretty good. You know, I think I'll just wait around and see how all this plays out. You know, I really have some concerns about everything in the Bible anyway. I really have some concerns about this woman having, being a virgin and being able to bring a child in the world. You know, I have a problem that there's a fish that could swallow a man. You know, I have a problem that Elijah can make an axe float. You know, metal don't float very well. You know, on our way, we could go and look at some of the things and say, you know, I'm just going to wait around. I'm just going to wait around. So I'll just wait till the tribulation comes. And when the tribulation comes, then I will be able to verify that everything that God has spoken before the tribulation in the Word of God is true. And then I'll make my decision. No, you won't. Brother and sister, you need to understand, you will believe the lie of the devil. As sure as I am standing here before you, if you wait until that of the tribulation period, you will believe a lie, because if you didn't accept and understand the truth before the tribulation, you will not understand the truth after the tribulation. And the Satan will have you for all eternity. That is a dangerous thing, because what was it that Jesus said to Thomas? Thomas, You couldn't have faith unless you had proof. Blessed. Remember what it said? Blessed are those who cannot see, have not seen, but are going to put their faith in me. And that's where we are. We're on this side of the tribulation, and we need to put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, believers, we need to let the Lord Jesus Christ take a hold of our lives. Listen, if you openly, willingly refuse Jesus Christ as your Savior in this day and in this age, your soul is in grave, eternal danger. So now is the time that we make those decisions. Some of you may be asking, hey, Preacher, you always had this question, can people be saved during the tribulation? A lot of times when you talk to people about Revelation, it's one of the questions they always ask. Well, hey, say the Lord comes and raptures. Is it people going to be able to be saved during the tribulation? You know what's wrong with that question? And it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart when people ask, you know what's wrong with that question? We ought to be asking not what's going to happen after the tribulation. Our concern ought not be about their salvation after the tribulation. What ought to be our concern? Our concern ought to be about their salvation before the tribulation. Our concern ought to be about the 5 million North Carolinians now. Our concern ought to be about the loss in this community. Our concern ought to be loss of those people in our workplace, those that are associated with our family. We ought to be concerned about the lost conditions of people today and not be so much concerned about what's going to happen to them after the tribulation. But the answer to your question, yes, thank God. There is going to be a way to find Jesus Christ during the tribulation. There are three ways. First one, we'll deal with it when we get to chapter 11. There are going to be the two strong witnesses that are going to come, and they're going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there are going to be many that are going to be saved because of these two strong witnesses, and we'll deal more with them later. And then we're going to see that there are the redeemed Jews. 144,000 redeemed Jews are going to come to Jesus Christ during the tribulation period, and they are going to share the gospel with all who will listen. And then, brothers and sisters, there is going to be a silent witness. When the tribulation comes, there's going to be something that's going to take place that we're going to leave behind that's going to be here to be a silent witness. And if we were in a hurry today and the Lord Jesus Christ would come in the next 30 minutes, many of us wouldn't know where to go find what it is we're getting ready to leave behind. You know what we're going to leave behind? The Word of God, the Bible. Some of you don't even know where your Bible is right now. But I want to tell you something. When the rapture comes, you're going to leave it here. You're not taking it with you. And that silent witness, there are going to be millions and millions and millions of copies of the Bible everywhere. And people are going to pick them up. People are going to read it. And people are going to find the Lord Jesus Christ through that media. All right. Let's look at the sixth seal. Look at verse 12. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. And the stars of heaven fell on the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs, then when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky will recede as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. Scene's going to change again. We're going to be back to earth. We're leaving heaven. We're coming back to earth. We've seen the four horsemen, and they were in charge. That was man in charge of judgment. When you come to the sixth seal, you need to come to understand we're now dealing with divine judgment. God is going to be in charge. God is going to deal with the sin and the corruption that's gone on in this earth. It is God who's going to take matters into His hand. Friends, if you take Daniel chapter 9 and Matthew chapter 24 and the sixth seal and put them together and read them, you will come to understand the magnitude and the awesomeness of what's going to happen by the hand of God as He begins to deal in society and this world that is left behind. The Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ, in Him all things consist. And all things are held together by Him. I want you to understand something. Listen to me. This is important. When you're looking with chapter 6, I mean this sixth seal here, you need to understand that scripture I just quoted. See, all things consist because of Jesus and He holds everything in His hand. Just listen to me. What is it? Just think about it. If all of a sudden Jesus just loosened just a little bit His grip on Mother Nature. All these planets are in their perfect orbit. All the things of Mother Nature that just goes on in an orderly fashion. All of a sudden, Jesus just lets loose a little bit His grip. That's the picture you see here in the sixth seal of what would happen. The Bible says there is going to be what? Earthquakes. There's going to be darkness. The sun will shut out its light. You know, God's given us a glimpse of that twice. You know that? Of His judgment when He put darkness upon the face of the earth. You remember? And it was scary. You remember the first time? In the book of Exodus. Right before the children went out of Egypt. That last plague. God just had the darkness. It was the plague of what? Death. Eerie. Scary. Darkness filled the whole earth. And then we remember when Jesus was hanging on the cross in those last moments of His life. Darkness. Sin cover the world. Darkness and death cover the world. The hope of God through His Redeemer and His Lamb, Jesus Christ, for a moment was dead. And then he tells us there is coming a day when the sun again will be darkened. And in that time, it's not going to be the time of pleasure. It's not going to be the time of work. But it's going to be the time of crime and disease and sin and corruption. And then notice it says this moon is going to be like a clot of blood hanging up there in the sky. You know what the sun, you know what the moon is? The moon's a reflector, right? Now to get the picture, just listen to it. Listen to the picture. The sun is dark. Therefore the moon's not going to reflect the light of the sun because it's dark. What is this? What is the moon reflecting? Is reflecting the blood of this earth that is being spilled in this moment of divine judgment and the wrath of the four horsemen as they're running rampant over this world. The reflection is the blood. The moon hangs up in the sky like a big clot of blood, reminding all men of the sin of the world and the magnitude of sin. And it said the stars will fall like figs from a tree, and the heavens will be like a scroll that opens up. The Greek word is aster. Aster is where we get our word asteroid from. Do you realize that an asteroid 1,948 feet across passed this earth and came within 516,000 miles of the earth? You said, well, preacher, that's a long ways off. It's not when you think about the moon, the moon and the sun out there, and the sun's out there over 195 million miles away. And here's this asteroid coming in 516,000 miles of the earth. Do you realize the last time an asteroid hit this earth, it was in 1908. It hit Siberia. And when it hit in an isolated place in the jungles of Siberia, it destroyed 700 acres of prime forest land. And we're told by scientists this: if it had hit a city like San Francisco, it would have destroyed the city for better than 700-mile radius. But even worse than that, it said if it had missed land and hit the Pacific Ocean, it would have destroyed the Pacific Ocean basin. And it would have produced tidal waves better than 26 feet high. And it would have literally destroyed most of the West Coast. That's, friends, I want you to understand. Jesus has the grip. Jesus has the grip. And my word says he's one day he's going to loosen it. And when he does, havoc, Mother Nature, is going to be disastrous. One scientist said, well, all these things that have happened in history with asteroids that are coming near the earth is just Mother Nature's wake-up call. I said, you forget Mother Nature. We need to understand it is a wake-up call of God. He's the one that's in control of this creation. And He's the one in control of Mother Nature. And we need to fear not Mother Nature, but we need to fear the one who controls Mother Nature. A NASA astronomer says this. He's writing a book. He said, there is coming a day. There is coming a day when the sheltering sky as we know it is going to be torn apart with such power that it's going to stagger the imagination. It has happened before on planet Earth. If you don't believe so, just ask a dinosaur if you find one. And here's the point he makes. Out of all the asteroids that are able and capable of hitting and striking planet Earth, only 10% of them have been detected. 90% have not. God could just release His little grip at any time and things could begin to happen at a very exciting, fast pace, couldn't it? Time magazine said this in 1989. They asked the question, America. They said, America, do you remember where you were on March the 23rd, 1989? Were you out dancing or at the shopping mall? Were you attending a PTA? Or were you just home relaxing watching TV? Were you aware that disaster came close to planet Earth? And that if this asteroid had hit planet Earth, it would have been comparable to 100 hydrogen bombs in its wallop. And millions upon millions would have lost their lives. You know, isn't it interesting? John just said that when these tribulation times come, a fourth of the population can be wiped out. You know, isn't it interesting? It's not so, you know, the Word of God just not so far-fetched. Do you know that? You know what it talks about in there? The scroll of heaven just being rolled up. You know what that's a picture of? How many of you understand a nuclear blast? You know what happens when a nuclear blast? When a nuclear blast takes place, it causes the air to rush out. And there is this tremendous vacuum. And then all of a sudden, the air rushes back into this vacuum. And there is this tremendous explosion, and the skies just sort of roll within themselves. That's what John just described. Power. Look in verse 14. The heavens will depart like a scroll. And when all that happens, what's man going to do? Isn't it interesting? Man decides he'll have a prayer meeting. Look in verses 15 and following. But here's the tragedy. Listen to me, friends. Instead of praying to the Rock of Ages, they're going to just simply begin to pray to the rocks. That's the reason I tell you, when the tribulation comes, we're not going to get more religious. We're not going to get more on fire for the Lord. Because even in this time, when everything was happening, falling about them, they didn't turn and pray to God. They began to pray to the rocks. And they prayed that the rocks would cover them, and the rocks would hide them, and that the rocks would just prevent them from facing all that was going on in death. You know what that article of Time magazine concluded with? Here's what it said. The article concluded and said, the most sensible thing is just not to think about the potential problem of asteroids hitting the world. I don't know about you, but I think the sensible thing is to be prepared, and who cares if it hit the earth, I'm going to be ready. Amen? I don't know about you, but you might want to stick around here for this tribulation period. But for me, I'm up and gone. I'm not going to be here. I don't want to have anything to do with it. And we need to come to understand that when that judgment takes place, there's no discrimination. God's going to deal with those in a mighty way. You know what all this sin is all about? Why God's got to deal with the earth? And why there's got to be a tribulation? Read in Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 24 and you have the answer. It's pride. That was the sin of Satan. He wanted to be equal with God. He wanted to have the same control that God had. He wanted to be able to call the shots. He wanted to be the judge and the jury. He wanted everything to be about him and his pleasure. And that's where the world has gotten to today. We have said to God, God, you've got to fit my mold. You've got to fit my standard. You've got to fit my lifestyle. Because I'm not comfortable with trying to fit into your mold. God is saying to us, there is a day that is coming, and it's going to be a day of divine judgment, and we will all stand before Him, and we're going to have to give account of our lives. Father, we pray that you would use this message as a positive message to help us understand where we need to be in our relationship to you. Because you have provided an escape. We don't have to hide from you as Adam and Eve did because of their sin. But we can have refuge in you because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that we would boldly step forward and say, Lord, take my life. Make it and shape it and mold it and have it after your will and your purpose. Help me to know the joy of living and serving you. In these closing moments, Lord, speak to each and every one of us that are here. Speak to our hearts. Some hearts that may have become a little indifferent. Some hearts that may have gotten a little cool. Make our hearts tender this morning, Lord. Bring us back into your fold. Help us to deal with the Lamb of God on this side and not on the other side. For over here we have the love of the Lamb, and over there we're going to have the wrath of the Lamb. Lord, help us to deal with you in your love and in your mercy. Speak and have your way. And God, give us Christian homes. But in your name we pray. Amen.